Channel Radio. Channel Radio.
On the hour.
Great music.
On the hour.
Channel Great music.
On the hour.
Channel Great music.
On the hour.
Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 3rd of May. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and I have with me, co-presenting the show, the absolutely gorgeous Amanda Flanders. Hello, Amanda. How are you?
Hi, Paul. I'm good, thank you.
I'm sorry. I have to tell you, listener, that I blagged her into this. Amanda is a guest today, and she arrived, and I said, oh, it's really nice that you arrived here. Oh, by the way, I've got a job for you. And to be fair, she's been absolutely brilliant, and she has agreed to step in and help me co-present the show, as well as be a guest. So thank you, Amanda, and a pleasure to have you on the show with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. We got a packed show today, and as always, we want to hear from you, the listeners of businesses out there in the southeast of England, predominantly now. We've kind of spread our wings a bit, but we'd love to hear from you, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can call us on 01-303-874-998. That's 01-303-874-998. Or you could email... I've got a frog in my throat. Or you could email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BBunker. That's the hashtag BBunker. So do get in touch with us. We've had quite a few tweets already, as always, and we'd love to hear from you. So packed show today, loads of interesting guests, loads of things to talk about, all recovering from the bank holiday. I keep forgetting it's Monday.
It's Tuesday.
I keep thinking it's Monday, and it's not. It's Tuesday. And I got up this morning, and I thought, oh, I've got an easy day today. I haven't got much to do. Just get the show ready for tomorrow. And I thought, no, it's today. So bank holidays do that to you, don't they? Anyway, I tell you what, Amanda.
Yes.
Shall we start off by doing an email of some kind?
Let's do an email. I have a pile of emails here to read out for you, Paul. So I'm going to start off. We've got the Kent and Victor After Hours Networking email. So we've got some dates coming up. Tonight we have two events going on. The first one is at the Nucleus Business and Innovation Centre in Dartford, and the Conyon Brook in Ashford. So that's two great chamber meetings going on tonight.
Fantastic. Those after hour club meetings are really brilliant. You don't even have to be a member. You just rock up. They're free to attend. And they're normally pretty good. I used to go to quite a few, and I haven't been to one for a while because I'm just kind of busy doing other stuff. But I used to go to them on a quite frequent basis, and they're always pretty well attended events and quite a lot of fun. I'm not a breakfasty person normally.
No, me neither.
I don't do breakfast meetings, so the after hours clubs are always perfect for me. By then, I'm just about waking up at 6 o'clock in the evening and kind of coming to. And I have to say, a couple of months ago, I visited the Nucleus Centre at Dartford for the first time, which is a shared space, office space. What a fabulous place that is. It really is awesome over there. They've got some fantastic meeting rooms there. Look, you'd like that, Amanda.
Yeah,
they've got some really, really cool meeting rooms. You can write on the walls and everything.
No, that's good.
Yeah. Now, how good is that? They give you this pen and you just write on the walls. It's just like being at kindergarten again. Fantastic. So great place. And the Conyon Brook Hotel at Ashford, out there on the Canterbury Road. So do get along those tonight. I think they start around about 6:30 normally, don't they?
6:37.
Yeah, so do check those out. Do get your tweets coming in. I've got a few tweets. I'm going to start with the latest. So I normally start with the earliest, but while it's on my phone, I thought I'd read it before I lose it. And it's from the absolutely lovely Anne Wing Cooper, and she's Get Fruitful Now. On the Twitter, and she says, it's the last chance for the Business Bunker shout out for my book preview on Friday, and here's the details. And she's given us a link which Twitter have kindly shortened so that I can't read. So the best thing to do is to actually follow Anne Wing on the Twitter, and her Twitter handle is Get Fruitful Now, or one word, Get Fruitful Now. Give her a follow, find out about the event on Friday, and come along, because I'm going.
You are going to be there. I'm going to be there as
well. You're going to be there as well.
I am.
Yeah, they're going to start talking about us soon, Amanda.
We're going everywhere together.
Yeah, absolutely. And Amwin's also saying, looking forward to listening to the show. So thank you for that, Amwin. So do follow Get Fruitful Now and find out about Amwin's book launch and event this Friday at
Barnum Court
at Teaston, which is just on the outskirts of Maidstone.
That's right, yeah.
Which is also a shared office space, is it not?
It is. It's a very nice venue.
Absolutely. So do that. We've had a tweet from the lovely Kimberly of Home Care in Ashford, and she says, I love the Business Bunker. Oh, thank you, Kim. You can follow Kim, who, as I say, is Home Care in Ashford, and her Twitter handle is CNCA Ashford. That's all one word, CNCA Ashford. So do give Kim a follow on Le Twitter. And we've also had a tweet from Cars from Ken, and it says, hi, Vanilla Web, that's me. Can we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please? If you want to buy or sell your car locally, carsfromkent.com. That's carsfromkent.com, and they say cheers for that. So, fine. Have a look. Last time I looked at Cars from Kent, they had about 10,000 cars on there, all local. It's interesting. Yeah. Anywhere in Kent. So do check that out. I'll tell you what, Amanda, you can take over for a minute and... I tell you what, surprise me.
Surprise
you could
you.
Do an email or a tweet. I don't mind.
Oh, let's do some tweets. You know how much I love tweeting. Oh, hang on. Press the wrong button. If I can find the tweets, that is.
It does that to me every time. You just think, I've got some brilliant tweets to read here. You look round, you look back, and they've gone.
Yeah, I have one from the lovely Caroline and Liz, Riverford, Kent.
The Organic Sisters.
They are.
Yeah, yeah.
There's, hello, Vanilla Web. Give us a lovely, jubbly Organic Sister delivery at the Business Bunker. So, sorry, girls, I've done it, but Paul's already talked you up there as well, so that's good.
Yeah, that's Riverford Organic. They deliver veg boxes and pantry stuff to businesses and homes throughout Kent. So do check them out. The Organic Sisters, Liz and Caroline. Riverford Organic.
Let's see what else we've got here. Something exciting. We have Wagons Films.
Oh, Carlton.
Wagons Films. Is at Vanilla Web, Business Bunker, videos that means business. We'd love a shout out on the show. We make the films that get you in business.
Wow.
Sound good.
You like a bit of filming as well, don't you, Amanda?
I love a bit of filming.
I've seen you with your fantastic videos on Facebook and
people
stuff.
People are going to get the wrong ideas about us, Paul.
No, oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, what a blow.
Oh.
No, but you've been doing some fabulous promotional videos, and it's interesting that you say that we've just had a tweet from Wagon Films. I'll tell you what, I might as well read this email, because it's right on the top of my pile anyway.
Oh,
my phone's pinging. I'll tell you what, I ought to turn it off, didn't I? I've got an email about this anyway, and it kind of pulls this all together, because this show is not just thrown together, you know. It is produced to within an inch of its life. Now, don't look at me like that, Di. It is, really, honestly. Don't forget to grab your tickets for Create, because once they've gone, they've gone. That's true. First up at Create is Lucy Milton, who will be sharing her experiences with starting a podcast and the whys and hows of podcasting, and hopefully she'll give you some inspiration to get started yourself. Next, we have Carlton Walls, who's from Wagons Film, and he will be talking about the variety of different ways to use video to engage your audience.
Good.
And then, at last, but definitely not least, we have John Hippersley. If anybody doesn't know John, you need to know John. John is known primarily for his work in Canterbury doing the ghost tours. Yeah. He's brilliant. He's so brilliant. He is brilliantly brilliant. It is so brilliant. It's like someone that's brilliant from Brilliantville. It really is funny.
Do you like it, then?
I do like John. He's as mad as a box of frogs. But he's not actually talking about his ghost tours at Create. He's actually will be sharing with you how you can get your book published on Amazon. With a minimum fuss, plus the importance of spell and copy checking, copywriting and cover design. So it's about self-publishing books. And this is all taking place at Fruitworks at the Create event, which is a free event with free beer and stuff.
Free beer?
Free beer.
Free wine?
And free wine.
Can't be there.
And it's an evening event, and it's on the 26th of May, so it's the last Thursday of this month, and it's at Fruitworks, which is currently at 77 Stour Street, Canterbury. I say currently because they're expanding and they're going to change the front door, so it will be number one Old Jury soon. But at the moment, it's still 77 Stour Street, Canterbury, CT12NR. and you can book your place. It's free to come, but you need to reserve your tickets because it gets pretty packed, by going to fruitworks.co, just CO, nothing else, CO/create, and you can book your place at the next Create event and listen to those fabulous speakers.
Sounds good.
Good stuff. And coming back to the Twitter, we've had Brian from Invicta Chamber. And he says, Vanilla Web, looking for a shout out on today's show for Brian Invicta. I'm managing the East Kent area for the Invicta Chamber. So he's basically looking after members in East Kent area. And that's Brian Invicta is his Twitter handle. And that's Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, Brian Invicta, all one word. And he says, hope you're having fun in the studio. What, me and three lovely ladies? How could I possibly not be having fun? Of course I'm having fun. It's wonderful. So thank you for that, Brian. Chris Pollard has been on. I'll tell you what, Amanda, do you want to do another email?
Yeah, let's do another email. Mm. I have one here from the North Kent B2B 2016. So the North Kent B2B is going to be on the 29th of June at Buckmore Park in Maidstone, Chatham. So I believe it's the first time the B2B have been at Buckmore. Which is really nice. And the highlights of the day include engaging keynote speakers, informative workshops on key business topics, speed networking session, networking breakfast, free business advice sessions with one-to-one with experienced advisors, and dozens of businesses demonstrating their products and services. So that's on the 29th of June at Buckmore Park.
Fantastic. I think they've got something a little bit special planned there as well, because it's a go-kart track, obviously, there. And I think there might be some car-y things going on as well, which could be interesting.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so do get along to that. It's a completely new venue for them, and it should be loads of fun. I want to tell you about something that's coming up later in the year, much later in the year.
Christmas?
But it's worth starting to tell you about it now. Did I mention it's much later in the year, Deb? Did I say that? Because it's probably going to sell out quite quickly. And I've got an email about the actual main event that we'll come to later. But there's a Construction Southeast Expo in Kent towards the end of the year. And the Southeast Construction Opportunities attract global interest, and Construction Expo is at the heart of the region's industry. Attendances are increasing each year, and 2015 saw nearly 3,000 visitors, including those from some of the very largest main contracting and house building firms. The event provides the perfect platform to build lasting business relationships. Construction Expo's objective is to provide the construction industry with a highly focused gateway to learn, network, and capitalize on the region's major construction opportunities. Now, the event's taking place on Thursday, the 6th of October, so it is a long way off, but you need to plan this, because if you've got a small building or contracting company in Kent, there's a lot of stuff planned, and this is the place to go along and find out about it and build relationships and get yourself on supplier lists and all those kind of things that you need to do. The event is going to take place at the Kent Event Centre, which is at the County Showground on Detlin Hill, just outside Maidstone, and it's an all-day event from 8:30 till 4:30 on the 6th of October. And I've got a couple of links. If you want to book an exhibition stand, go to kentconstructionexpo.co.uk/exhibitors. Or if you want to book your tickets just to register a free place, go to kentconstructionexpo.co.uk/delegates. I'll put both those links on the Kent Business Radio website so that you can find them out later. But that's the Kent Construction Expo in the southeast of England, and it's taking place on the 6th of October. And I think this is the third year that it's run, I think. So, and it's growing year by year. And it was a massive event last year, so I expect it to be really, really big this year. I'm going to do one more tweet, I think. Oh, look who we've had on. Somebody called Jewel Serkin
has
tweeted. I don't know, but she's only just got up by the looks of it. And she says, can we have a shout-out on today's radio show, please? And that's for Press Up Group, Jewel Serkin's PR company. So a big shout-out for Jewel. She's probably still in bed, actually.
We're missing you, Jules. Where are you?
Yeah. And also we've had Kent Tweet Ups. Vanillaware Business Bunker. Business owners, tweet up, network, new venue in Whitstable, the Crescent Turner Hotel. Thursday, May the 19th, 10 a.m. There's a guest speaker. No need to book. You just turn up and it's free. So do give them a follow. Kent Tweet Ups on the Twitter. Do you know what we're going to do now, Amanda?
What are we going to do now?
I'm going to play some really cheesy tunage.
Oh, lovely.
And this is just for you,
the
owner of Butterflies and Dreams.
Oh, I could hide neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring. But it rings and I rise, wipe the sleep out of my eyes. My shaven razor's cold and it stings. Cheer up, sleepy Jean, oh, what can it mean to a daydream? Of me as a white knight on his steed. Now you know how happy I can be. Oh, and our good time starts and ends without dollar one to spend. But how much, baby, do we really need? Cheer. To a daydream believer and a homecoming queen. Cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean to a daydream believer and a homecoming
Rift Accounting. The accountants of tomorrow, today. Riftaccounting.com.
Jobs in Kent.com.
Find suppliers and quote for work with local Kent businesses at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 3rd of May, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stunningly gorgeous Amanda Flanders. Monkeys there, sorry, bit of Daydream Believer.
That's fine, I love the Monkeys.
You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Cheesy tunes.
I love cheesy tunes.
Do you?
Absolutely.
Good. We've had loads more tweets. We do social media. We do S Media is actually their Twitter handle. Please shout out CPD, that's Continuous Professional Development, accredited LinkedIn training program happening on the 20th of May. So that's a CPD accredited LinkedIn training program happening in Kent on the 20th of May. You can find out about it by following them on the Twitter. We do S Media, all one word, we do S Media. That's we do social media for their accredited LinkedIn training. Tell you what, Amanda, what have you got?
I have got a tweet here from Bank on Business Expo, handle at bank underscore expo, Vanilla Web Business Bunker. Do mention the B2B Bank on Business Expo at London Biggin Hill Airport on the 14th of September. And I guess if you follow them on Twitter, you'll be able to find out more about that. And I also have one from Maya Share, which is at Elmstone Systems. Vanilla Web, have a nice day from Elmstone System Software for health and safety management.
Fantastic, thank you. Oh, Biggin Hill, that's near you, isn't it? Ish, a little bit. Ish.
It's up that end of the.
It's nearer to you than it is to me. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Okay. That sounds interesting. That as well. Oh, Business Expo at Biggin Hill.
Yeah,
cool. We've had a tweet from Stephen Connor, who is Fair Price Energy number one. Fair Price Energy one on the Twitter, and he says, "Vanilla Web, please give Fairnet a shout. I will be at the Victor Chamber Free After Hours Club at the Conningbrook event tonight in Ashford." And he says, "Come along and say hello." So come along, say hello to the lovely Stephen Connor. He will be at the Kent and Victor Chamber After Hours Club meeting at the Conningbrook in Ashford tonight. And I've got a lovely picture here from a lovely young lady with a cocktail in her hand. And the tweet is from the Crescent Turner Hotel, which is in Whitstable. And it says, "We're delighted to host new venue for the Kent Business Suite Up." I read a tweet earlier tweet up, and this is where it's taking place, apparently.
Cocktails, it's good.
Yeah, and there's a lovely young lady here holding a welcoming cocktail. So that looks bright and dandy if you want to get along to that. So do check that out. I just want to tell you this. There's a lady on Twitter, and I'd like you to follow her Twitter account. And her Twitter account is LLLEM936. Let me tell you that again. LLLEMLM936. All one word. Give her a follow. Elle is actually working at a refugee camp in Dunkirk. And she's looking after the kids there. And they are providing tennis lessons and tennis coaching for the young kids. Mm-hmm. And every day she posts a whole series of photographs of the kids having fun. There's some fabulous photographs. Do follow her Twitter account, retweet it, give her some love and support, because she's giving out loads of love and support in Dunkirk there. So do that, because they're doing a wonderful job looking after the kids there and keeping them on the straight and narrow and teaching them to play tennis. Just look at the photos. There's some fabulous photos there of the kids playing tennis. We've also had a tweet from the lovely Lucy Milton, who is known as Dandelion SM. That could lead you off in different directions, couldn't it? Dandelion SM. But I think that stands for social media, hopefully.
It
does. Sorry, Lucy. I shouldn't do that, really. And she says, podcast marketing, your business bunker on Snapchat and chat. And she has done a podcast with someone. Oh, it's me. She's done a podcast with me that she's promoting. Why you'd want to listen to me, I have no idea. But she's done a podcast anyway. So do give Lucy a follow. It's Dandelion SM, all one word, on the Twitter. Thanks. I think we'll have one more email, Amanda, and then we'll talk to our first guest.
Okay. All right. I have an email here, which is actually really interesting to me because it's down my end of the world, or up my end of the world, I should say. It's the London Paramount, the huge £2 million theme park to rival Disneyland. They're talking about building in Kent, and they're going to be looking to build it between Gravesend and Dartford, near Ebbsfleet, I believe it to be. It's looking to bring in 50,000 tourists to the area, and its attraction will be based on a film owned by Paramount Pictures. It will feature Europe's largest indoor water park, theatres, live music venues, attractions, cinemas, restaurants, event space and hotels. The owners have also promised a training academy for the entertainment and hospitality sectors, a new country park, a large science and education visitor complex, and the biggest performing arts centre in Europe. Financed by oil money from Kuwait, the attraction is expecting to bring 27,000 more jobs to Kent, which is great. Mm-hmm. And London Resort Company Holdings, which is behind the project, says the huge resort will also give a boost to other attractions around the county. Work on the project could start as early as 2018. A planning application is likely to be submitted by the end of 2017. So that could be pretty good for that area of Kent.
Fantastic, yeah. As you say, quite rightly, Amanda, the planning permission is about to be put forward. I really can't see them turning it down. I mean, I'm sure they're going to mess about. Although, having said that, I'm having some right laughs with Canterbury City Council on planning permissions. But it's going to be a massive, massive boost to the... not just the Kent economy, but the London economy, because it's in that kind of area between South London and Kent that's going to have a massive, massive impact in all kinds of ways. Of course, you know, it's going to be a huge project. It'll also increase the traffic around about. So, you know, we need to be aware of that. I don't know if you, most of you ladies weren't old enough when they were building Bluewater. They kept telling us it would have no impact on the traffic whatsoever. Yeah, right. That worked, didn't it? But, you know, there's also planned at least one more Thames crossing. So, you know, I think they really need to pull all of that together as well at a similar time. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a fantastic project for Kent. It's going to bring loads to the economy, loads to tourism, loads to business, loads to the construction industry while we build the thing. So fantastic stuff. Do you know what I want to do now, though? I want to introduce our first guest to the Business Bunker for this week and the first guest of May. And it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker the lovely Deb and Di from Dom Education Group. This isn't easy to say. My dad's dog died. Welcome, ladies. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to meet you. Why don't you kick off by introducing yourselves? And it looks like Di's going to go first because she's got the microphone in her face. So why don't we start with Di, find out a bit about you, and then you can tell us a little bit about Dom Education Group and what you do.
Perfect. Okay. Hello. Hello. And thank you for having us on the show. And good afternoon, Amanda.
Good afternoon,
listeners. I just wanted to give an overview of myself. My name's Di. It's a sister business, so it's me and Deb. And my background is in education. So I worked in adult education for the last 10 years and had a passion for empowering people, motivating people and developing programs.
Right.
I was a quality assurance manager, but also a product developer. So I design programs and teachers.
So you're actually designing programs for adults, did you say?
Yes, predominantly those JCP clients that would come back and wanted to get back into work, so employability skills-based training.
Yeah, okay. Just tell for the one listener that doesn't know what a JCP is.
So Job Centre Plus. Yeah. So it's
part of Department of Work and Pensions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So for those clients, you know, that need that extra support. So it wasn't just about giving them direction and transferable skills and CV. To me, it's about empowering them, making them take ownership, responsibility. Self-esteem, confidence is a huge area that we develop.
It's interesting that you should say that. I've actually done, I don't know why I have, but I have, over the last 18 months or so, I've been delivering workshops in almost every DWP office in Kent to their client groups on things like that. And you're absolutely 100% right. It's not just about telling people how to do things.
Mm.
It's about giving them back their self-esteem.
Absolutely.
And giving them back their motivation to do it.
Mm.
Because once you've been unemployed for a long time and you suffer rejection after rejection after rejection, you lose your motivation eventually, don't you?
You do. And unfortunately, you know, most people don't go out in life to be unemployed. So, you know, they just need the support to get back on the ladder.
Mm.
And it's if we don't give people the help and that they require, then obviously it's going to affect future generations.
Mm.
So that was kind of the background of my kind of work, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the core area that I developed was really empowering young people, to give them the confidence, aspirations and skills, and actually getting them to identify what their core values and motivation was.
Right.
And then building it up from there so they have a purpose, they have a vision of what they need to achieve.
That's really interesting stuff. Can we explore that just a little minute? Because I'm fascinated by things like that, about how you find those buttons that you need to push to get yourself up and at them and on. So what kind of things do you actually look at, Di? How do you kind of structure this?
The teaching style was what we called accelerated learning. So it's very VARG model based, where it's 20 minutes activity that's layering of learning. So it's very rote to begin with, very simple yes no answers, and then we build the confidence as you go through a programme. So with confidence, it's about identifying where they are right now and what they want to aspire to. So we do things like, you know, if you had £1 million, what would you spend it on?
Right, okay.
What is that? And if they say a Ferrari, what does it mean to you to have that Ferrari? It makes me feel proud. So what you're looking for is to feel proud. If you buy a house, it's looking for security. So they're the things that are of value to you. So then you say, okay, so then you go to work because you want security. You want to feel proud.
Right.
So it's identifying what's important to them. So the work we're doing at the moment in schools is actually really relevant, because then they put value to the qualifications. So every, you know, the parents in schools will say, you've got to get your GCSEs, 5A2C, GCSEs. But some of the students don't know why, what they're going to do or why they're achieving these. But
absolutely.
We bring it back to basics, to the core values, and then build it up from there.
I love what you're saying. Many years, this isn't about me, it's about you, but many years ago I worked as a motivational speaker. And one of the things I used to talk about was a piece of research that was done by a management consultancy called Richmond Group. And they actually produced a report and a book about it, but it's now out of print and you can't get it, which is a shame. I still have one really badly tattered copy, but you can't get it anywhere else. But one of the things is, and this is perfectly in tune with what you just told us, Di, is they identified what they called seven career drivers. Yeah. So internal motivators that people were driven by internally to succeed in life. And some of them were money and earning, but not many. And some were security. Some were a sense of being and belonging. And some were a sense of achievement and expertise.
Absolutely.
And some seek autonomy. So they had seven clusters of things that most people have one of, which was their primary driver. And that's really in tune with what you just told me about trying to deconstruct what it is that people want to get out of work. And it's really interesting, isn't it? Because you can say something, you say, what do you want? And people go, oh, I want a £5 million house, or I want a Ferrari. Actually, quite often they don't. They just want
what brings what the meaning of it.
What
brings to
the meaning of that brings to them, because it's a symbol that they've succeeded in some way, rather than wanting the actual thing itself. Because you could get a Ferrari quite easily, just nick one.
Absolutely.
did I just say that?
But also, it's what we find within the schools across the board. When we cover these activities, we collate a lot of analysis, and I'd say a good 70% of the students. What's important to them is their family, which is really warming to know, you know, to support their family, to give to their family. Yeah. So, you know, there's so much about the family values not being strong. Actually, they are very strong. And it's about nurturing those and really empowering that really. So that's kind of, so that's what I did. So I was quality assurance and product developer. And then I'm going to pass you over to Deb now. I was going to give her background and why we went into business together a year ago.
That'll be interesting. So let's thanks for that, Di. We'll come back to you in a moment. Let's hear from Deb now about what her background is and what brought her into this partnership and got this business off the ground.
So I'm my name's Deb. Welcome, everyone. I'm the second half of the partnership, and Di brings the educational sector and I bring the financial sector. So my background is over 20 years working in investment banks.
Oh, I thought you meant you were rich.
No. not yet.
You will be.
Working in investment banks, financial services, I'm a qualified financial mortgage broker. So just through my skills, so initially we were targeting sports clubs. My son being a professional sportsman, I was able to use, just by sharing my knowledge, I was able to share with him information that helped him in his finances in a sports career, which is a very short career.
Absolutely.
Eight years. So I've been doing this for the last 10 years and he'd often say, Mum, can you help this one? You know, he's paying X amount, for example, one of his friends was paying $23,000 for his car insurance, and my son's was $3,000. Can you help him with that? Can you help? And so along the time, just because I was sharing information. So we often talked about it, like there's a real need for young people, with 84% of adults never receiving financial education in school, yet 70% of young people go to adults for that. Expertise. So
I need to interject there, because it is one of my huge soapbox rants. So many people of all kinds, not just young people, people that really should know better, so many people in this country have no idea about the basics of finance. They don't even know what money is. Funnily enough, we got a couple of emails about money later, but in a different context. But they have no understanding of the basic context of what money is and how to manage it. And it's not something we've ever really taught either, is it?
No, so there's a lot of help out there for debt, mm. debt advice, etc. But our intervention is really, well, let's train the young people. Let's tell them at 18 they're a credit score. What does that mean? Mm. How to form habits when they're young that they follow into adulthood. Mm. And I heard the other day that the we're going to need a salary of 66,000 in Kent by 2020 to buy a house and a deposit of 61,000. Mm. I think it was Shelter that shared that.
Yeah.
Well, it's the average first-time buyer at the age is 37. So when we're in the classes, we say, who aims to buy their own house? They'll put their hands up. Oh, what do we think the age of the first-time buyer? They say 18, 20. We say 37. They say, so who's living at home? They're 37. Not me. So we just say, well, how are you gonna get out earlier than that? Yeah. Well, I need my GCSE. So we just make it relevant what the education is and why it's important, how absolutely. It affects them later in life.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is important. And of course, the trouble is, and we've all been there, we've all done it, we've all been young. No, really, I was young once.
We believe in.
Yeah. You know, when you're really young, you don't think about savings, you don't think about pensions, you don't think about all those kind of stuff. But you really need to. That's the time to start when you don't notice it. You haven't got many commitments in terms of you haven't got a family to look after. You haven't got this, that and the other. You can put a few quid away. But now we all, you know, go partying and all the rest of it. And then... We struggle, and as you say, you know, getting on the housing ladder now is next to impossible for average people. It really is ridiculous, especially in the southeast of England. There are parts of the country where you can't sell houses still, but the problem is there's no jobs there either, and it's only going to get worse as we do more and more in the southeast. So you're absolutely right. So we have two fabulous ladies, sisters, one from an educational background, one from a finance background. And you decided to pull all this together. So tell us what happened from there. So you obviously knew each other already, you know, been introduced once or twice before.
Of course. Deb's had this idea for a few years of helping young people. And obviously with her son, Ryan, being a sports professional, she did that.
Can we just ask? Because everybody's going to go, what's he do?
He's Ryan Bertram plays for Southampton. He's an international player. So he's very successful in his football career. An England player as well. But what she'll always say is, I'm no better than any other parent out there, but she had the skills and the knowledge to support him in a way that he could, you know, she was doing his pension at the age of 17, because it's a short-lived career, etc. So it's not that the parents haven't got the knowledge, it's that the information on finance changes so much.
Yeah.
And even keeping up to date with it. And so what Deb decided to do is to really look at some way of educating financial capability in a young person's environment. So we've got one contract with a Premier League club. Mm. And then we've got us come into school. So I've worked with adults, but not worked with children before. So it was a matter of scaling it down and bringing it into more context to the age relevance. Mm. So we piloted a couple of sessions in schools, and the feedback was fantastic. So we thought, wow, there's a need for this. Mm. Everyone said, well, how will you get paid? You know, because the schools have got no budgets, they haven't got the funding for it. But actually, the schools that we've been able to, every school that we've been able to put ourselves in front of, we've been able to secure a contract.
Right.
And it's because what we aim to deliver, we deliver, and it's got measurable outcomes, and we do evaluation. And the last head teacher that gave us some feedback said it delivers quality and impact. Mm. So it's, although it's currently kind of touched on in subjects PSHE and maths, it's not as a core subject. So we kind of deliver that under alternative curriculum or extra curriculum, if you like.
Absolutely. It is massively important. And I know that nowadays top sports clubs like Premier League football clubs actually do pay a lot more attention to it. A few years ago, it was far worse, where, you know, there was nothing given to youngsters. You know, you come along because so many don't make it. You know, Ryan obviously has made it big time, but so many of the intake of young people never make it to full professionals and end up with no jobs, no money, no nothing.
Yeah, there's 60% actually. So I think it's about 300 that are taken on every year at 16, but by the age of 18, 60% of them are not even playing no more.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's so it's really sort of helping those guys as well, not just the ones that do.
Yeah, absolutely. Even more so to some extent, because a lot of them have, you know, put everything into becoming a professional footballer and it ain't going to work. They don't know what they're going to do for a job. They don't know what they're going to do for money. And even if they earn anything, they don't know how to manage it, because they were expecting to earn truckloads and now they're not going to.
Yeah. and we support with Plan Bs, etc. But it's you know, we don't sell products and services. So a lot of the support that goes into the clubs would be in an accountant or a Barclays or a bank of some sort that would go in. So we've been, so Dumb Education started 12 months ago, and we've been kind of full time at that since then.
Okay.
We've got accreditation by City and Guild, so we can do digital certificates now.
Wow.
We're on the exporting program now, so we've been to Dubai, we've done a trip out there, so we're building technology. We've got Apple TV channel coming out soon.
Wow.
So we're kind of innovative in what we do, so we try to blend new technology into the classroom. We're developing app training that was initially for the sports individuals, because they're all technology based, no pen and paper, but actually in the classroom environment it's quite nice to actually blend that learning in with there as well. So
okay, so from would it be fair to say that your business kind of has two focuses, schools and sports clubs?
Yeah, and most recently we've been asked to put a project together for Housing Association as well, because of the changes to the government universal credit changes, which is a lot of background that I've got knowledge in with DWP.
Yeah.
They're concerned about the changes within their tenants, 6,500 tenants that potentially could have problems paying their rent, etc. So
it's funny you should say that. I don't know if you know, but I own Jobs in Kent, which is a recruitment portal. So therefore, I tend to float around the whole jobs market quite a lot, especially locally. And there's some housing associations in Kent that have got into such a pretty state that most of their tenants didn't have work, so couldn't afford to pay their rent. So a lot of the housing associations have started to put a lot of effort into trying to support their tenants into getting work. Mm. But of course, the kind of programs that you're offering are desperately needed by them, because so many of those people don't have any idea how to finance what they're doing, how to manage their accounts, how to manage their money, how to manage their life. So what you're doing really is actually open-ended. You could almost deliver it anywhere to huge numbers of different people. So I get that. And it's really interesting. One of my other functions is with the Federation of Small Business, and I'm involved, I'm the lead on education and youth engagement and employment. And one of the things we're trying to do at the moment is to talk to schools about the whole world of work and how it's changed and all the rest of it. So there's kind of a bit of a synergy there as well. So I'm loving what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of demand, really, isn't there? I think was recently in the UTC Medway delivering a workshop there for employability.
Right, okay, with Karen Buck.
Yes. Yeah. And working there, and you know, they've great aspiration to the UTC, which is new.
Yeah.
And they've got some.
Just so in case people aren't familiar with what the UTC is, give us a quick overview of that.
Yeah, so the UTC is an engineering college. It's based in Medway. It's only been there since September last year, and they're taking on year 10 to 12s. 13s, keeping them on the sixth form.
So it's basically vocational training, isn't it?
Absolutely.
In engineering and STEM skills rather than just general purpose GCSEs.
So you find most UTC specialise in one thing. So one, I think, in Dartford is IT.
Yeah.
But they all do engineering as well.
Yeah.
But, some great inspirational young people there. We were
living
to year 10, but that was, you know, some aspirations is really important to us, that we build those, and confidence. Confidence is a huge thing.
Absolutely.
Without the confidence, you know, you're not able to move forward with it.
It's all so obvious, isn't it, but so difficult to bring about. It's not, you know, we do have this tendency to be somewhat silly when we just in general, I mean the general population, you know, you go, oh, people are lazy, or they don't want jobs, or, you know, they're all benefit scroungers or whatever. But they've never been in that situation. They haven't talked to some of the people that you talk to and I talk to on a lesser basis than you do. And it's really interesting. At the end of the day, you can actually get anyone to do something, because everyone has talents, everyone has abilities. Mm-hmm. It's just bringing that out and getting them to focus on it, which is one of the things I really love, one of the many things I love about what you two guys are doing, because that's entirely your starting point. You haven't just gone in there and said, look, get a bank account, do this, throw the credit card away, you know, and get a job.
At their skills and behaviours.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic.
And habits is huge as well. You know, we address habits and how habits are formed. So it's very cognitive. It's it's very motivational, kind of the theme that goes all through it. Yeah. But what we're quite good at is blending it to the criteria of what they want. So if one school particularly wants to enhance on maths or if it's aspirations, we can really kind of tweak and blend it.
Yeah.
So what we aim to do is deliver our Money Matters programs, which is a lot more just than financial capability, but also blend it in with how they want, you know, what they want to have as their learning outcomes as well. So it's good because the learners do develop, and we've had some great feedback, and the school are happy with what we're doing. So we've had a few schools now, and we just mark into Kent and I was going to
ask you, actually, are you particularly targeting locally, or do you work nationally? How is this going to work? I know you haven't been in business that long, so you're probably still just finding your own feet at the moment.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure we got the model right first. That was the key.
Yeah.
And understanding how the schools work and how we can fit into the curriculum. And now we've got that, and we've tweaked it, and it seems quite pretty perfect for the delivery for the education. So we're looking at marketing now to any schools in Kent and London as well. So and then, you know, take it from there, really.
Fantastic. I really love what you're doing.
Thank you.
I think it's absolutely amazing, and really, really important, and really, really good stuff. We could chat about this forever. Unfortunately, we can't, because we haven't got the time. So I tell you what, give us a shout out for how people can find out more about your organisation, Dom Education Group. Give us your Twitter handles, your websites, your Facebook pages and all that nonsense.
Yes, please do have a look and follow us on Twitter. It's at Dom, capital D, D-O-M, education, capital E. And our website is info@domeducation.co.uk. And our Facebook is Dom Education Group.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
All of those details are on the Kent Business Radio website, and they will remain on the Kent Business Radio website. So if you want to find out more about what Deb and Di do, Deb and Di and the Dom... I'm just going mad with this, aren't I? Also, because of what happened, talking football here as well, what happened last night with Leicester winning the Premier League... And dear old Claudio Ranieri with his ding-dong speech as well. It's a double D ding-dong day. So ding-dong, thank you, Di and Deb.
Thank you.
Dominican Education Group. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Do stay with us.
Fantastic stuff. Cool.
Very good. Blimey.
I'm really blown away by that. Really good stuff. I'll tell you what, I've got loads of tweets coming in. We've got some more emails. It's about time Amanda did some more work, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, you can read us something. Surprise me, Amanda.
Well, I must be a little bit biased. A tweet has just come through from Anwyn Cooper. You mentioned her earlier. We've got her Get Full Marketing pre-book launch on Friday.
Mm.
And she's actually put a little bit of a tantaliser up for people who are coming. We've got some...
Is she teasing us?
We've got some surprise decorations for the people that are coming. And we've been creative with fruit. So if you actually go onto your Twitter and you put the hashtag in, obviously hashtag BBunker, and have a look at the fruit we're going to have there. And we've just put a little bit of a sort of preview of what we're going to have. This is a little bit of, and she says, thank you to me. I must say thank you to me. Obviously, I'm putting it all together for her, but I must say thank you to my mother, who is the creative one who has actually made this stuff. So have a look. It's absolutely amazing what you can do with fruit.
Nice one, Mum. What's Mum's name?
Mum's Carol.
Carol. Nice one, Carol. Fruity.
Very fruity.
Fruity Carol. Lovely. That's what I like. Cool. We're looking forward to that, and I'm intrigued now as to what we're going to get in this fruit.
I'm not letting anything else away.
No,
the rest of it's going to be a surprise.
I could go all kinds of directions with that, but I think I ought to behave myself a little bit here. Fantastic, thank you. I want to tell you about this. I hadn't heard about this. I've heard about the other money-related thing I'm going to talk about in a minute, but this one I hadn't heard about. Apparently, there's a new £1 coin coming out. Yeah?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
And an MP, local MP, Roger Gale, has warned has warned, no less, local businesses. And he's saying businesses and services in North Thanet and Herne Bay, which is where his constituency is, need to be preparing now for the introduction of the new £1 coin. And it will be launched in March 2017, so, you know, 11 months away. Says the MP, Sir Roger Gale. He was speaking at the House of Commons following a presentation by the Royal Mint, and he said there is a vast number of outlets that use coin machines in my constituency. They range from seaside amusement arcades through civic and hospital car parking services to the many small businesses that use coin handling devices. The new 12-sided £1 coin...
12-sided?
12-sided £1 coin with rounded edges and corners. Blimey, they got everything in that, didn't they? is being minted now and we will be introduced as legal currency in March 2017. There will then be a six-month co-circulation period during which both old and new coins will be usable. But in the autumn of 2017, the old round pound coin will cease to be accepted. So you've got to empty your piggy banks. So the time to start planning is now, not next year. The Royal Mint claims that, unlike its predecessor, which has been counterfeited in its thousands, the new £1 coin, based on a design by a 15-year-old schoolboy and featuring the emblems of the United Kingdom emerging from a coronet, will be the most secure circulating coin in the world. Ah. But it's also going to cause an awful lot of added costs while everybody has to change their machines and pay the costs of it. So there you go. So if you run a business that accepts £1 coins in any kind of mechanical format, you need to be preparing for this right now because you haven't got long to deal with it. Cool. I've got some more Kent and Victor Chamber events here. I've got them. They do a joint venture with the Muesli Mafia.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And they've got a breakfast meeting, 7:30 to 9:30. It includes a full English breakfast. I should think so too. It'd be no point in getting up otherwise, would there?
No.
And it's members and non-members, £20 plus VAT. Join us at our popular and highly attended breakfast networking sessions in a congenial and relaxed atmosphere. Members come from all types of businesses. And the next one is taking place on Wednesday, the 11th of May. And that's at the Warren in Bromley. And then after that, there's Thursday, the 26th of May, and that's at the hotel formerly known as the Great Danes, sometimes known as the Mercure, sometimes back known as the Great Danes, but everybody locally has always called it the Great Danes anyway, in Maidstone. So go along to the Great Danes on the 26th of May.
Where was that?
It's in Maidstone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's actually on Junction 8 of the M20, I think, Hollingbourne. Yeah. And then the Muesli Mafia, not content with giving you breakfast, have an afternoon tea as well.
Oh, afternoon tea, that's good.
Yeah.
That's more my style.
Yeah. 1:30 till 3 p.m. Following our successful Muesli Mafia breakfast events, we would like to invite you to join us for a Muesli Mafia afternoon tea. During the afternoon, we will serve you a selection of sandwiches, cakes and scones. I have to tell you, Deb and Di rocked up with scones. They got a big tray of scones and... I didn't see what else you had in there.
Strawberries,
cream. And
fresh
cream.
Jam.
Blimey.
No tea.
Yeah. Well, they've got clotted cream and jam as well to go with their tea or coffee. And the next one of the Muesli Mafia afternoon teas is taking place on Wednesday, the 8th of June. And that's at the Brands Hatch Place Hotel at Forkham.
Very nice venue.
8th of June, Wednesday, the 8th of June. So do get along to that. I'll tell you what, Amanda, do you want to read a tweet?
Tweet. I can read you a tweet. I have one here from Liz J, Nurse Liz J.
Oh, hello, Liz. Liz is our listener from the East Coast of America. She's based in Maryland and she listens every week. Hello, Liz. Welcome to the show.
Yeah,
she gets up especially early to listen to us.
It's very nice. It's raining over there at the moment.
Oh, is it? Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, we've got the sun here.
Yeah, we have. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful day down here on Romney Marsh, is it not? The sun is out. It's a gorgeous day. Yeah,
beautiful.
Frontier Funds have tweeted in. It's London Press Club today, 6:30 to network 7 p.m. questions and answers from the author of Frontier Funds, Mr. Gavin Serkin. So do give Frontier Funds a follow on the Twitter. That's Frontier Funds, surprisingly, is their Twitter handle. And I've also had a tweet. Oh, I've just lost it. That was stupid, Paul. I've just lost it. From the Debonair Tea Company.
Oh, yes.
Talking about tea and afternoon tea. And they say, Vanillaweb, Business Bunker, shout out request, please. We are looking forward to our appearance on your show in a couple of months' time. You are indeed coming on our show in a couple of months' time, and I am indeed looking forward to a cup of your tea, which will be lovely.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I have seen a few tweets going around. I'm a little bit worried if people are reading them. There's been mentioning of nakedness.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't know what it was about.
Can I just reassure you that us ladies in the studio are not naked here?
It's just me, then. It's just me,
Paul may well be, but we're not. I don't know whether Siobhan is. She's going to be on the phone later, so she's the one that mentioned nakedness. So.
Ah, okay.
But I just want to clear it up. We are not naked. I've put the photos up. We've definitely all fully dressed.
Yet. You're not naked yet.
Yeah,
but it is getting a tad warm in here, so there is scope. Later, I don't. How did that get started? Do we know?
I think we can blame Jules for that.
I was kind of suspecting that was probably the root cause of that. So, yeah, that doesn't surprise me in the least. Oh yeah, here we go. Here's Jules with a load of naked tweets. So thank you for that. Jules has also said there's a huge shortage of skilled chefs and hospitality staff here in Kent. Restaurants and hotels are struggling to find skills. Yeah, I know. Not surprising. The amount of food you eat, Jules. You need a whole team of people to keep cooking it in banks. And you know, she tweeted me all over the weekend. Every meal she had, I mean, and they're all five courses. And there's nothing done by halves. And it's all, oh, you know, just let a pig and oh, just let three pheasants and a peacock and a swan and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, and apparently there's not enough people to cook it. Oh. Kel, surprise. Have a new listener, Brian McDowell, who is Brian Kent 2017. And he says, it's preparation time for the question and answers on the 4th of May at Herne Bay. That's tomorrow, isn't it? 10 a.m, a business open day. And you can find out about it by going to a website, which is charliesbistro.co.uk. That's Charlie's, C-H-A-R-L-I-E-S, Bistro, all one word, charliesbistro.co.uk. And that's a business open day tomorrow, 10 a.m. in Herne Bay. And I guess Charlie's Bistro is a venue in Herne Bay, I guess. But charliesbistro.co.uk, check it out. We've had I'm getting conflicting tweets about this. So somebody might want to look at this. I've had another tweet from Fruitworks who say, can we have a shout-out for Create, please, on the 26th of May, all about self-publishing and growing your online presence, which I mentioned earlier. Then somebody tweeted and said, all the tickets have already gone. And now they just tweeted and said they've got some tickets. So maybe someone would like to look at that and just check and see if there are any tickets left. But do come along. 26th of May, Fruitworks in Canterbury, 77 Stour Street, free networking and beer and fun and mayhem and all kinds of things.
If there's any tickets left.
Sorry?
If there's any tickets left.
If there's any tickets left. Well, I think there should be, but there you go. We'll see. Oh, another new listener. You might have... you read this one out, didn't you? Elmstone Systems?
I did, yes.
Yeah, well, we'll give them another shout. We'll
Why
give them
not?
A second shout. Why not? Because they're new listeners and I don't know them. So their Myra share is what they're called. Elmstone Systems is their Twitter handle. Have a nice day from Elmstone Systems Software, Health and Safety Management. So that's your second shout out. You can't say further than that, really, can you? I'm going to do one more email, I think, and then we'll have our mid-show break. Before we talk to our next guest. And there's a charity golf day. There's a charity golf day on June the 9th. Please join us at Nizelle's Golf and Country Club on June the 9th for a day of golf fun and networking in aid of three local charities. The charities are the Lewis Project, the Seven Oaks Day Nursery, and the Bridge Trust, which I happen to know the Bridge Trust. John Hanley, who's chief executive, Bridge Trust is a homeless charity, and they run a hostel in Tunbridge. The day is open to chamber members and non-members alike. You can put together a 2, 3, or 4 ball team or join us as a single player. The day starts at 8:30 a.m. and will end between 4 and 5 p.m. All abilities are welcome. The price per head is £75 and that includes tea, coffee and bacon roll to start your day. 18 holes of golf followed by a hot meal. Prizes will be awarded for the best team and individual scores, including closest to the pin and longest drive, and everyone has a chance of winning in a raffle. This charity golf day is organised by the Seven Oaks Chamber of Commerce. For more detailed information on the day, including sponsorship opportunities for chamber members, please email us on the following email address, info at sevenoakschamber.com. Alternatively, you can go to the website, which is www.sevenoakschamber.co.uk. Registration closes on June the 3rd. So do check that out. That's the Nasals Charity Golf Day organised by the Sevenoaks Chamber of Commerce. And I ought to just say that the Sevenoaks Chamber of Commerce staged last week a fabulous event at Sevenoaks School at the Space Theatre. It was an EU debate. And there were two panels, a Remain and a Leave panel. And the Remain panel was fronted by Hugo Dixon, who's a journalist and author of Why We Should Remain In, a best-selling book. And the Leave panel was led by Dan Hannan, who's the member of the European Parliament for South East England and also author of a book on why we should leave, surprisingly. They did buy each other's books, though, at the end of the day. Yeah, they did buy each other's books, which was very nice of them. And there were also two business people on each side of the table. There was Tobin Bird, who was a local farmer and businessman, and I've got to remember everyone's name now, Tina Bolgan, who's a local businesswoman on the Remain side. And then on the Leave side was Chris Brown and John Sayers, who were, cool, blimey, that was well remembered, who were on the Leave side. And we had a huge turnout of the audience. A great evening, some very, very robust discussions, but all done in the best possible taste. And there were no real shenanigans. It was all handled very well. And at the end of that, if I get this right, we did an exit poll, and the exit poll was 56% Leave, 33% Remain, and 14% undecided. So a very interesting evening, and well done to Sevenoaks Chamber of Commerce for organising that fabulous event. So fantastic. Anyway, we've reached the halfway point in the show now, Amanda, where we're going to play a bit more tunage, and we're going to have a little bit of a break, and we're going to set up an interview with our next guest.
Oh, yes. So my first question will be, is she naked?
Exactly. Yeah, we need to find this out.
You want to know Siobhan?
Yeah, and do you know Siobhan?
I do know Siobhan.
Ah, right. Is she often naked?
Well, I don't know that well.
Oh, right, okay. It's just worth knowing. But she is from Wales styled, though, isn't she?